Praise 100.9 and 92.7. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. We're closing in on the November 6, 2012 presidential election. We're just 2 weeks away from what is perhaps the most important election of our lifetimes. The nation will decide between two profoundly fundamental directions that will guide our political system and social construct for decades. As the 2012 presidential campaigns come to a close, I want to examine some of the weighty issues that will accompany you into the voting booth. Get ready, folks, a closing argument about the presidential campaign of Governor Mitt Romney and President Barack Obama here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. The third and final debate between President Barack Obama and Mitt Romney this week was profoundly informative. What the nearly 60 million Americans who had an opportunity to see the debate, what they had an opportunity to see was the complete unraveling of Mitt Romney's campaign of half-truths, obfuscation, political opportunism, and I'm going to be quite honest with you. There have been many whoppers, many lies that have presented itself through the Mitt Romney campaign throughout this election season. Mitt Romney demonstrated, in my judgment, a clear willingness to lie and flip-flop his way to the White House. Now, during the debate, rather than Mitt Romney stand on principle and core convictions and beliefs, he bear-hugged his way virtually with every position that President Obama has articulated throughout the campaign, especially as it relates to foreign policy. It was as if Mitt Romney had no ideas or policy agenda of his own. And I think the American people had an opportunity to see that. That is why he was sweating. That is why he was licking his lips. That is why he looked as if somebody drenched him with a bucket of sweat. It was shameful. He was duly exposed for some of the nonsense that he has been spouting throughout this campaign. And it was quite extraordinary. When I hear political pundits suggest that Mitt Romney's strategy during the last debate was to tack to the middle. Now, again, what you had an opportunity to see was Mitt Romney bear hug his way and literally glom on to every position that the president has articulated. It was disheartening to see this. And I find it amazing that political pundits suggest that this was some strategy so that he can tack to the middle instead of what he's actually done, which is to flip-flop on every single position he held actually prior to the final debates. And it was interesting to see. And I was glad that he was exposed. But fundamentally disappointing to me was the dishonesty on part of those pundits who, again, did not call Mitt Romney on the many flip-flops. Everyone, and here's the deal, and then I want you to really pay close attention to this. All of the pundits pretty much knew that Mitt Romney had to embrace the most fringe elements of the Republican Party in order to get the nomination. And now that he is tacking to the middle, as they say, he has softened his position. But interestingly, over the years, Mitt Romney has been flip-flopping on a broad range of issues, whether it's abortion, whether it's foreign policy issues, whether it's social issues, whether it's Medicare and Medicaid, Social Security, tax reform, taxes in general. He's flip-flopped on everything. There is an air of dishonesty about this man that needed to be exposed. And fortunately for 60 million Americans this week, they had an opportunity to see, at least on the foreign policy front, that Mitt Romney was exposed for the fraud that he actually is. He has no heft in terms of foreign policy, and it is quite amazing. And what is disheartening, again, are these pundits who knew precisely what Mitt Romney has done throughout this campaign. So, interestingly, by not presenting his own foreign policy and glomming on to the decisions of the Obama administration, Mitt Romney not only failed the commander-in-chief test, he failed the character test. He failed the honesty test. He failed the integrity test. Mitt Romney demonstrated yet again that all he has to rely on are talking points, that he'll say any and absolutely everything to get elected. And I find Mitt Romney's surrogates to be equally incredible, because these folks are not only dishonest, they are desperate to get this man in the White House. And again, it was exposed. Subsequent to the debates, of course, you had various focus groups who continued to be swayed by one argument or the other, and they have yet to make up their minds. And that's unfortunate, because the danger in electing a man who literally has no core convictions, there is something about being able to build relationships with foreign dignitaries and foreign leaders around the world. And if you have no core conviction, you can be swayed by absolutely anything and be swayed by events. And as Mitt Romney clearly demonstrated with the Libya consulate attack, he acted on impulse as opposed to deeply thinking about and mulling through all of the particulars that are required of a president to make cogent decisions. And that's what we've seen from Mitt Romney. President Obama, on the other hand, as in the second debate, he presents a cogent case of why he should be given a second term. During the debate, he was focused. He had an extraordinary grasp of the intricacies of foreign affairs and a depth of understanding of the events and the hotspots around the world. And in my mind and in my judgment, and I think most Americans who had an honest assessment of President Obama during the debate and throughout, literally throughout his presidency, he mounts a robust defense of each of his policy decisions, because not only does he mull through these things and deeply ponder it, he's careful and measured in terms of how he approaches issues related to both foreign policy and domestic issues. That's what we need in a president. But what we've seen from Mitt Romney during the final debate, he stammered and stumbled his way through. The American people realized that at that moment that Mitt Romney didn't have a foreign policy of his own. Again, he's glumming on to President Obama, that his only guiding principles with regard to foreign affairs are talking points and rehearsed retorts that are meaningless and cynical. That's what we've seen. There is no depth to this man. Just a shallow and cursory understanding of the basics of international affairs and relationships. And I have to say, for those of you who are strongly considering voting for this man, if you look at it from a domestic standpoint, he has had some extraordinary difficulty connecting with ordinary Americans. And I don't know if it's because he is shielded by his wealth or it's just fascinating to watch how difficult it was for him to literally be able to connect with people. And so when you think of it in terms of foreign affairs, and as we've seen during the debate, for instance, China, labeling China a currency manipulator on day one is what he says. God forbid if this man is elected, he will effectively demonstrate an inability and an unwillingness to dialogue with companies and countries all over the country and all over the world. That's what we'll see from this individual. So again, Mitt Romney was exposed as being a foreign policy, foreign affairs lightweight. And I, for one, am glad to see now. I know folks are concerned about polls And of course, the undecideds will obviously make a huge difference in terms of the outcome of this election. So I did want, as I was preparing for this show this morning, did want to address the issue of polls because people are concerned. And what we've seen over the course of this week after the election was the polls are vacillating, fluctuating all over the place. And that is actually going to happen until November 6th. So I don't want folks to get persuaded by what they are seeing in terms of these polls, because there are right-leaning polls, there are left-leaning polls, there are some independent-minded polls, nonpartisan polls, and they're going to vacillate. They're going to fluctuate throughout. So I don't want you getting dissuaded by these polls, because they will suggest one thing or the other depending on the issue, depending on the day. So it's interesting that folks are persuaded by it. I'm not. I'm just it doesn't move me one way or the other, because you can inflate polls, in my judgment. And what I've learned over the years is that pundits are usually wrong, and the polls are merely, to be honest with you, an indicator, but it's not the final decision. And what we've seen from the Romney campaign is a willingness to present a false narrative about momentum. And then you couple this with a false narrative presented by Fox News, that propaganda machine, and right-wing idiot logs. I don't call them ideologues. I call them idiot logs. And some people, especially low-information voters who demonstrate a willingness to take the bait, if you will. So, again, polls don't move me. The Obama campaign has built a significant firewall in various battleground states that will prove difficult for Romney to surmount, especially in places like Ohio. And we're seeing in Nevada and other places around the country that that firewall is sturdy. And so it's going to be interesting. Despite the Romney campaign's impression of momentum, I do want to suggest to you that the president has more than a 70% chance of winning this election, while Romney's chances hover around 30%. President Obama leads in the electoral map, which is, you know, although I have my issues with the Electoral College, I do think that will prevent Romney from surmounting those huge odds in terms of winning. The electoral map, as well as the popular vote, I think President Obama is doing well. And most experts, as I said, are suggesting that he has a 70% chance of winning when you look at the map of this country. Yes, it will be a close election, but I am not persuaded by polls suggesting that Romney is leading anywhere. And I would urge you not to be persuaded by those issues. I do. After the debate, I was quite fascinated by, again, some of the focus groups that articulated various positions about President Obama as well as Mitt Romney. And to be honest, these undecided voters have spent little time ferreting through the many issues that are weighing this country down. And unfortunately, I mean, there is a responsibility on the part of every voter to pay close attention to these issues. I know that folks are working and they're putting in long hours and they want to come home and not be bothered by the news and not have those weighty issues bog them down during their evening. I understand that. But there is also a responsibility. And I was particularly disappointed and disheartened by some of the perspectives of the focus groups, because they are basing their decisions not on paying close attention to the issues, but some of the more lightweight issues such as body language and even the debates. If they haven't paid attention all year long and they're now deciding and just tuning in and now deciding who they want to win this election, I think it's unfortunate. Which leads me to this point, particularly to Republican voters. If you are a Republican and you're just tuning into this morning's show, I want to appeal to your conscience. Right after Tuesday's debate, political pundits on both sides of the political spectrum suggested that Mitt Romney's debate strategy was, again, to hug the president's positions on absolutely everything. And this is especially true when you consider Mitt Romney has cynically attacked the president on everything, including the 2014 withdrawal from Afghanistan of our troops, which he vociferously critiqued and criticized the president during several speeches. When you consider the troop withdrawal from Iraq or sanctions on Iran or how America should respond to China, a broad range of foreign affairs that Mitt Romney criticized the president for in terms of his performance, he wholly embraced during the debate. Republicans who are listening to this show, you have to ask yourself why. It's because he did not want to appear like a hawkish warmonger, which was the foundation of his campaign until that final debate on foreign affairs. The American people, particularly Republicans, ought to be insulted that Mitt Romney's debate strategy was to agree with President Obama on foreign policy, which means he has absolutely no core convictions except to say anything to get elected. And I firmly believe that that is precisely why General Colin Powell's endorsement of President Obama was quite fascinating. It sends a clear message to all rational thinking Republicans that Mitt Romney is ill prepared to be commander in chief. He's a lightweight. He's a know nothing. That is why he stumbled and stammered his way through that debate, because he has absolutely no foreign policy heft whatsoever. And in my judgment, he's a dangerous man, because if you don't have a grasp of foreign policy and foreign affairs, and you couple that with an economic agenda, that's dangerous for our country. And what's interesting is that he continues to fail to disclose any of his so-called plans, which in my mind demonstrates a lack of seriousness when it comes to this issue. Where are the plans for foreign policy as well as his tax plans? And it's incredible. I don't see how anyone in good conscience can vote for Mitt Romney. He has absolutely no core convictions. I'm being redundant intentionally because I want Republicans to hear me. If he will flip-flop on the smallest things, he'll say one thing one week, change his mind the next week, and then flip back again. That is not steadiness. That is not leadership quality. And that concerns me. He's changed his positions on every issue since he began campaigning. No core conviction. The only reason anyone would vote for Mitt Romney is because of a deep-seated hatred for President Obama, not merely because of his policies. I'm being honest with you. I think there is some issues of race. That is why we see Donald Trump and a whole host of other individuals come out and say the most despicable things about President Obama. It has a lot to do with race. It has a lot to do with the idea of having this man in the White House, primarily because of who he is. That is why his birth is always challenged. That is why his Americanism is always being besmirched. It's because individuals have a deep-seated, profoundly deep-seated hatred for this man. And it is, to me, disgusting. Now, I do want to close out, and I want to suggest to you this before we close. For those black pastors who are indicating that they would mount some campaign to not allow President Obama to serve a second term, I will suggest to you that is profoundly unfortunate. And I think there are reasons why this is occurring. I don't think it's merely an issue of gay marriage. I think there's something else involved in this. I know that when President Obama weighed in on the issue of same-sex marriage, it upset a lot of folks. He evoked some passion from people who are opposed to gay marriage, which is understandable. But for me, what is outrageous, what is narrow-minded, what is opportunistic are these pastors protesters who will use that as a reason to deny President Obama a second campaign. First of all, we live under a democracy. The United States of America is not a theocracy. Our government and the laws that govern this land falls under the purview of the Constitution, not the Bible or any other religious document. I did not elect President Obama to be the pastor of this country. He has a constitutional obligation to uphold the civil liberties of every American, the human rights of every American, and the individual rights of every American. And that includes those folks in the gay community. There are no religious dictums, doctrines, or dogma he's obligated to follow as president of the United States. And what galls me is the selective amnesia employed by not only these pastors, but many people in the African-American community that have embraced the most cynical and abrasive position on this issue. I want to remind folks, have you forgotten your history? Have you forgotten the target that was once plastered on the backs of African Americans? Have you forgotten the institutional and governmental prejudice that stymied your efforts of freedom, liberty, and justice? Have you forgotten that you were the targets of discrimination, racism, and bigotry? This is a message to black pastors and individuals who would stupidly follow their advice in terms of voting against President Obama because he, as the president, is upholding the Constitution that maintains the rights of every single American. I did not elect this man or vote for this man to be the pastor of this country. How easy we forget that the same language couched in biblical excuses were used to undermine our ability to exercise our full humanity. So if these black pastors want to uphold the virtue of marriage, as they've been indicating, they need to start in their own house. Pastors having multiple affairs, deacons creeping out at night on their wives, church leaders beating their spouses, bishops and priests molesting young boys, prosperity pimps fleecing their flock. You have enough to do. Stay in your wheelhouse. That galls me, and I'm sorry, I got a little carried away there, but that really gets to me when I hear stuff like that. Voter turnout is going to be especially important, and I want all of you to be encouraged, number one, that President Obama has worked extraordinarily hard on the behalf of every single American, black, white, gay, straight, poor, wealthy. Every group, every American, white woman, white men, whatever your occupation, whatever your desire and love, the president, he has been equally and profoundly fair about addressing the issues that impact our country. And I certainly want to give credit where credit is due. So voter turnout is going to be extremely important. And I want to leave you with this because I think that in terms of a closing argument on behalf of President Obama is essential. Listen, Mitt Romney is a good man, without question, in terms of his personal life. Good family, obviously, but the reality is good men also succumb to selfish desires, and those selfish desires are to do anything to get elected, and that is most unfortunate. I think President Obama has done a great job in terms of leading this country. I think that he has demonstrated a willingness to not only take the insults that come his way all the time, he buckles down and he works hard for every single American. And right now, what we need in this country are roads, bridges, sewer systems, schools to be built, public transit systems that need to be repaired. And President Obama has a cogent plan to get that done, an infrastructure plan that will enable millions of Americans to get good paying jobs. Stop shipping jobs overseas and rewarding companies for shipping jobs overseas. Let me remind all of you as I close, the president inherited a mess and we are digging our way out of it. What we've seen this president do This is January 2009. It's buckle down and work hard. We were losing 750,000 jobs per month for the first 6 months of his presidency. We have now regained 5 million of the 8 million private sector jobs that were lost. 5 million jobs, 31 months straight job gains, an unemployment rate that is now 7.8%. And I know these things will vacillate and fluctuate, but the reality is we are turning that ship around, albeit slowly, but progress is being made in this country. And you can't deny that. I don't care what any of these folks say. And for you individuals who are sitting on the fence, I just want to remind you, when Mitt Romney was secretly recorded about, his perspective about the 47% that would vote for President Obama, justifiably so, he insulted the veterans. And now he wants, and what his plan is to cut benefits by $11 billion. He insulted seniors, which threatens their Medicare and Medicaid. He insulted those on disabilities. He insulted the working poor struggling to survive. He insulted trash collectors, teachers, firefighters, police officers who may be taking advantage of tax breaks primarily because of the kinds of work that they do. But they are not feeding off the government. They are not taking the government to the bank. They are just trying to survive. Early childhood education programs, school lunch programs, mortgage deductions. These are the things the 47% take advantage of primarily to survive. And what we've seen from recalcitrant Congress is an effort to sabotage absolutely everything the president has been working for. Now that unemployment is at 7.8%, which, of course, in my judgment, it is just another example of how things are turning around. And I want to remind folks, economists right now are suggesting that because of the way things are going, 12 million jobs will be added to the economy in the next 4 years. We are on the right path, recapturing 5 million of the 8 million jobs lost. The auto sales are just going through the roof. With the auto bailout, millions of people are working, including those ancillary jobs that are attached to the auto industry. 5 million available jobs are now available. And what President Obama has articulated is the need for community college to educate people to prepare for those jobs, not only of the future, but jobs that are available right now. So the reality is we have a lot more work to do. There's a lot of things that we can do in terms of encouraging folks to get out and vote. And that's what I encourage all of us to do. Make an effort to get folks out to the polls. This is a critical election that will have ramifications, not just this year and next year, but for decades. We have a social compact, this country does, with every single American, and that is a collective responsibility to each other. The Republicans, particularly the fringe element of the Republican Party, embrace an Ayn Rand selfish individualist perspective in terms of our democracy. President Obama embraces the idea that if we all work together, every single American, whether you're rich or poor, that you will have an opportunity to succeed in life. And if we continue to give breaks to those who can, for those who are not asking for it, and those who can afford to give just a little more, I think it is a social compact and social responsibility to take care of each other. I have no qualms about being able to utilize some of my tax dollars to help those who are in need. And I'm quite certain that those who are wealthy feel the same. And so the gatekeepers of the wealth divide in this country are working overtime to prevent that opportunity from occurring. But we have other desires, and that is to make sure that every American has the keys to the door of opportunity. We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. We'll be back in a moment. Praise 100.9 and 92.7. I do want to encourage all of you, as this election comes to a close, get out and vote. Regardless of how bloated our government, regardless of how feckless our leaders, you have significantly minimized your right to complain if you don't vote. Engage the process, my friends. Engage the process. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.